Yeah. Amen. Thanks for reading. All right. Well, I grew up in the 80s. I know there's a lot of 80s people out there growing up. We were known as the microwave generation. Felt like we were like big stuff because we had the microwave. You had your food was instant, or so it seemed. Today it's like, man, that is old hat, isn't it? What they say today is we are the current generation is the on-demand generation. Everything is just right there. One click and you've got it. Remember back in the day when we actually used to have to go to, remember Blockbuster? Blockbuster movie, you'd have to like actually get in your car and drive down, and they had all the movies on the wall, and you'd have to go through. It's like, no, but it doesn't have the one behind it. Like, you'd have to get the actual disc and leave from there. It's interesting how we are just so much more in an immediate society, aren't we? We want things, we want it right now. If we're on a website and it buffers for 3 seconds, we're done, right? It's not the Lord. We need to go somewhere else. We have no patience for things like that. If we order something, we want it today. Tomorrow at the latest. Remember back in the day, we'd order things and it would take weeks to come. And we're like, wow, it only took 2 weeks. I got my mail-in cassettes in 2 weeks. Wow, that's phenomenal. We want things right away. If somebody doesn't message you back, something's wrong, right? They're mad. Oh, he's in a ditch. Something happened. Like, we need immediate results. It was interesting as I thought about some of the things, you know, from my generation, just not to leave out previous generations. If you came before the 80s, then you knew the rotary phones. Remember that? You had to go all the way around and then let it click all the way back. Or some people call that the wait your turn generation. Some of you guys might appreciate that. Had to wait for the letter to come in the mail. You didn't have text, you didn't have email, you had to wait for it to come in the mail. Well, we are an immediate results society today. We want things right away. And we have so much of society like that, and we can bring that in to our spiritual growth and have the same expectations, can't we? I need to grow, I need to change, and I want it right away. Or, if you can't relate to that, maybe it's how you think about other people. Oh man, my husband, man, he just needs to get it together. Oh, my kids, what's taking so long? Like, we did that study on anxiety and you're still struck. What's wrong? It should be done. It should be complete, right? We want immediate results in our spiritual growth. We want it for ourselves. We expect it to others. We want to be able to, hey, we read the Bible, we're done. Hey, we prayed a prayer. What's going on? Why is this? Are you broken? Is my faith broken? Is my walk with the Lord broken? What's going on? Well, as we as a church are talking about our vision, our direction, one of the things that we want to talk about is spiritual growth. That's an important part of what we do as a church. It's an important part of what we want to see. It's what we want to give ourselves to. We want to experience it. We want to help others experience it. So what does the Word of God say about our expectations of spiritual growth? What does the Word of God say about how we should gear our church in order to help other people grow? Well, we are in a passage where Jesus, he teaches about the coming of the kingdom of God. It's coming in the hearts of people. And I want to look at this passage so we can have a framework of how we think about discipleship, how we think about spiritual growth. So I want to go through this, talk about a few things in this passage about spiritual growth in general, and then get into some direct application for us as a church. So, first thing to see about spiritual growth is that spiritual growth is a process. It is a process. We want the immediate, hey, I want to watch that movie and I want it now. Click it and it's there. Maybe you want the build your own burrito. This is exactly what I want and I want it now. It's really interesting as Jesus teaches on spiritual growth, and here the imagery that he gives us is that of planting seeds. He's planting seeds in a garden. If you could have come up with one image to describe your spiritual growth or how you want it to occur, what would you pick? Jesus picks seeds in a garden. Seeds aren't that exciting, are they? just put some lettuce in our little 4x4 garden that we have. That's about all we attempt these days. We're just not very good at growing stuff. Just put a few seeds out there, went out the next day. Come on, where's it at? Where's my lettuce? Nothing, right? Few more days, nothing. Few more days, just some faint little leaves, sprouts coming up. Tiny, tiny, tiny. Couldn't tell what's the lettuce, what is the weed. Few more days, start to see, hey, I think that's lettuce. I think that's a weed, you know. A few more, you know, we're a couple weeks in and we've got little 3-inch plants. It hasn't been anything exciting. And yet that's how spiritual growth often occurs. It is slow. It is a process. It is slow. Sometimes it's unnoticeable, but things are happening. I know there's things happening under the ground that I can't see. Those seeds are doing things. That's how spiritual growth occurs. Neat one commentator on this passage, he said, God did not design his kingdom to come like a tidal wave or a bolt of lightning, to come quickly and disappear quickly. No, God planted it in the coming of a Galilean peasant, a homeless man from Nazareth who gathered about him a bunch of nobodies. It's just interesting how God worked in the lives of the disciples and how he continues to work in our lives. Process entails patience, doesn't it? When there's a process, you realize, hey, I want to be here, but I need to go through these other steps in order to get there. The processes aren't always immediate. A bolt of lightning is immediate. Growing lettuce, growing tomatoes, that's a process. There's things that you go through. It requires me being patient. I'm not patient. My philosophy is if water is good, more water is better. If fertilizer is good, more is better. You guys with me? Guys, that's how we think, right? If that's good, well, let's just get a lot of it. And I cause problems. Sometimes I'm out there and I'm like, well, hey, this thing is growing good here. Man, I think it'd be better over here. And there's times where it's like, I just need to leave that plant alone, right? Like, just stop messing with it. Stop meddling. I need to let it go through the process. Sometimes my impatience will cause more problems. As we want to grow, as we want to see others, we want to put ourselves in positions to grow. We want to get the Word of God in us, right? That's one of the things we're called to do. In these parables, the seed is the Word of God. And he's saying we need to get it in us. We need to get around it. But there's also a patience that we have to display. You know, one of the things we've talked about time and time again is that as we are trying to grow, we want to think more about growing oaks than mushrooms. You ever seen the process that mushrooms go through? You ever seen a partly grown mushroom? Like, it doesn't happen. They're just, those are instant. They're instant. No mushrooms in my front yard yesterday. I wake up in the morning, there's mushrooms. They're just there. And then I go to work, I come home, and they're gone. They have no roots. There's no substance. My kids see them. They take the bat, and they're gone. Just like that. They're gone as quickly as they come. An oak tree takes time, doesn't it? An oak tree, it's working its roots into the ground. It's going deep. And that thing is going to grow slowly, but it's going to grow to endure. It's going to grow so that it endures the droughts and the other hard seasons. That's what we want to think about, you know, and there's a time for those trees. They need to grow strong. They need to grow slowly. That's how we are sometimes. I mean, it's fantastic to grow fast and to have, we don't want to say, no, we're not interested in that. We'd love to grow quickly, wouldn't we? But we also want to make sure that we are growing substance, that there is a substance in what we are doing. We want to have faithful sowing, faithful speaking of the word, times that we are encouraging that. There's times to rebuke, times to correct, but also times that we want to be patient and trust. Man, praise God. My child is getting in the word of God. I'm going to trust that God's word starts to work in his heart. So first thing to see is that spiritual growth is a process. We want to embrace the process. Point two goes along with that, and point two is that there are stages. There are stages of growth. We see that in verse 28. It says, the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. You know, a lot of pastors and churches will use this passage to talk about their spiritual growth, their pathways to spiritual growth. We have been doing that. We recognize that there are times that we want to sow the word. There are some times that the seed is starting to grow and we want to try to encourage it. There's other times that it's starting to grow and we want to bring a little fertilizer, let the sun get on it, right? Those are all stages that seeds go through, that plants go through. And so we recognize the same thing with other people, with our church, that there are people that are in different stages. You know, if you think about it, we sow seeds in spring, right? We sow it in the spring before the harshness of the sun in the summertime gets to it. Because those plants, they need time to get some roots. If the harsh summer sun shines on those young plants, it's just going to burn them up, isn't it? And so we sow it in the springtime so that they start to take root. They start to get into the ground. They get some leaves on them. And once they've got leaves and once they've got some roots in the ground, that's when they can take on the full heat of the summer, the long summer days. And so there's a time that's kind of, it's a little bit of a preparatory work. And then it's the time in the summer in which, man, bring on the sun, bring on the fertilizer. Those things are, those well-formed leaves are taking all the sunshine and converting it into energy and into the growing the corn, the tomatoes. There's different stages. And then once all that's done and you've got that big, giant red tomato, it's time to celebrate, right? It's time to harvest. Go cut that up, and as we used to do in Macon, Georgia, we go make yourself a tomato sandwich, or as we like to say it, a mater sandwich, right? It's just tomato and mayonnaise on bread. That's all you need. You don't need anything else, all right? Yes, I see a couple praise the Lord's on the mater sandwich. That's how we do it. That's harvest time. That's when we get to enjoy things. But one of the things that we see in this is that there are stages. There are stages to growth. I'm going to come back and talk on this in a little bit, but just as we see, what Jesus is outlining here is that there is a process of growth and there are stages for growth. The other thing to see in this passage is that, number three, is that spiritual growth is of the Lord. One of the comforting points of this parable is the encouragement that God is at work. You know, just as surely as I don't understand how seeds work. We had some lettuce seeds. I think they've been in our cupboard for 2 to 3 years. They've just been sitting there dormant. I went and I put them in the ground. I was like, I don't know if these things still work or not. I put them in the ground, and sure enough, after a few days, a few weeks, they start to sprout. They start to work. It's in that seed that it is going to begin to be formed. It's gonna. God has programmed it to produce a plant. One of the things that Jesus is pointing out in this work is that the seed grows. That's what he's saying. The seed grows. The word of God, you get it in soil, and it starts to grow. It starts to produce something. God is at work in this. One of the things that this parable that Jesus tells, in this passage of Mark, he tells three different parables all relating to seed. And they all have a slightly different point. The point of this parable is that he is pointing out the importance of how God works. It's a little bit different than the parable of the sower, which is a well-known parable that Jesus told that earlier. And the emphasis of that parable is our responsibility. It talks about a man goes out to sow. He throws some seed along the road, and the birds come and take it quickly. Other seed falls along some rocky soil, and it sprouts up, but it's not able to grow roots, so it dies quickly. And then other soil, it falls along the thorns, and it starts to grow, but then the thorns choke it out. But then he talks about some good seed fell, and it fell in good soil, and it took off, and it produced a crop 30, 60, 100-fold, all of this. And what he's talking about in that parable is that there's an emphasis on how we receive the word of God. And he's saying, you know, don't be like the thorns where the worries of life choke it out. Don't be like the seed that fell on the road and the enemy comes and takes it quickly. It never had time to set in the soil. He's using that to illustrate how we need to receive the word. We need to make sure we receive it. Don't just hear it and then run off and forget about it. Don't just hear it and then let the worries of life choke it out. He's saying, no, you need to receive the word. And there's an emphasis on what's going on in our heart. And this is so important because oftentimes what truncates our spiritual growth is our other idols. Is there other gods? You know, well, hey, I could, you know, I could make it to church, but man, if I could just get one more sale done, that'd be more important. Hey, man, I could take time in the word, but you know what? There's all this other stuff that I need to do. Or man, if I don't study a little bit more tonight, I may not get a 98 and I'll end up with a B plus in this class. I just can't take having a B plus. I've got to have an A. You start letting the things of the world crowd out our time in the word. And so Jesus is pointing out just the importance of that, the importance of being in the word, the importance of making a decision of saying, hey, I want to let the word of God change my life. I want to let the word change who I am. That's one of the biggest things that you can do is to make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to spend time in God's word. I care more about what God says than anything else. And I want to make sure, doesn't mean I'm going to try and flunk all my classes, doesn't mean I'm going to try and get fired at work. It just means that I'm making this a priority. I want to do well in all those areas, and I believe that being in the Word of God is one of the key things. I'm going to find refreshment in the Word of God. I'm going to find direction in the Word of God. I'm going to find out how to be who He has called me to be. And being in the Word is the key to everything else. That is a huge decision to make. That is a huge turning point. That's what it means to become a disciple, is that you are following Christ. You are looking to Him. You're putting Him first, and you're seeking to know what He says above everything else. Your number one goal in life is to honor Him. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's when spiritual growth begins to happen. That is a huge turning point in a person's life. And I want to encourage you, if you've not come to that place of saying, hey, I want to follow the Lord, I want to encourage you, that's the most important decision you can ever make. That's what the Bible calls being born again, being born to the Spirit of God. You're beginning to follow Jesus. It's a lifelong pursuit. You never perfect it. But there's a definitive starting point in which you say, I want to begin to put Jesus Christ first and foremost in my life. That's what it means to become a disciple. I want to make sure you understand that as we talk about pathways to spiritual growth, one of the biggest is just coming to a place of saying, hey, I surrender to Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. But I also want to highlight the point of the parable that we are in. The point is that God brings the growth. God works in that seed, just as He works in the seed of His word. Sometimes it seems dormant, but God will bring about the growth. Verse 27 says, He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. Some translations say, all by itself, the soil produces grain. It's verse 28. The word there, it's an interesting word where it says it produces all by itself, the soil produces grain. The Greek word there is automates. It's where we get the automates. That's what it looks like. What does that look like in our culture today, our word? Automatic. It's automatic. It's like it's automatic. It's producing. Think about the disciples as they went out sharing the word of God. This would have encouraged them so much just to trust the Lord, to trust, like as we get the word, as it gets into people, it's gonna have an effect. We wanna have confidence in the word of God. James 1:21 said, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save you. We wanna receive God's word, we wanna hear it, we wanna cultivate that. That's a great question for us is, how are you receiving the word? Are you receiving it? Are you trying to get it into your heart and mind? Because one of the things that Jesus is saying in the parable of the sower earlier, he's saying that how we receive the word of God says something about how we receive His kingdom. If we reject God's word, we've essentially rejected His kingdom. If we receive the word, it's as though we are receiving the kingdom. There is a powerful connection between how you view the word of God, how you view church, and how you are receiving the kingdom of God. If you're disinterested in the Bible, probably indicates that there's a disinterest in God and His kingdom. So it's something to stir ourselves with to say, man, if I care about that, I need to care about God's word. If I want to know more about the kingdom, I need to get in the word. If I want to be useful, if I want to be used of God in this life, that I need to be using the word of God. I need to be sharing it with others. I need to be bringing that to bear in all that I do. God brings the growth. We also see here that God brings a harvest. God brings a harvest. Harvest is when the crops are completed, they're grown, and it's often symbolic of the end of the age. The end of this age, Jesus says he's going to bring a great harvest. That farmer's going to come, and he's going to inspect all the fruit. He's going to inspect all the corn that has come. There's not going to be any rotten heads of corn in his batch, right? He's going to remove the bad and keep the good. And this is what Jesus says that he's going to do at the end of the age. He's going to separate the wicked from the righteous. And this is one of the things that brings us to see the importance of following Jesus, because none of us are righteous in of ourselves, are we? We've all sinned. Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. All are unrighteous. To expect righteousness to come from someone as unrighteous is like expecting oranges to come from a corn crop. It just doesn't work, does it? Don't plant corn and expect to see oranges. We can't expect righteousness to come from someone who is unrighteous. And this is where the good news of the gospel comes in, because Jesus, he came. He lived a perfect life. He died the death that we deserved. He was cut off. He was forsaken so that we could be brought in. So that when God looks at us, he doesn't see the fruit of our unrighteousness, but he sees the fruit of Christ's righteousness. We are brought in. We are approved of, not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done for us. And it's in that we see the justice of God. It's in that we see the love of God. It's in that we see his mercy, his goodness, and his greatness, his wisdom. And we begin to just, when you dwell on that, it is a powerful fertilizer to understand your life, to understand the love of God. Don't move on from the gospel. Don't look for other things. Sit in that. Understand what Christ has done for you. Understand the significance of his life, of his death, of his redemption. That's where we understand so many things of God. And that's where it begins. It frees us from legalism. Our goal in life is not just, hey, did you do your Bible study? Hey, did you do you finished fourth grade Bible, now you need to do fifth grade, now you move on, hey, just get it done. No, it means it gets into our heart. We want to know the word. We want to understand it. We want to share it with others. It changes. It goes from the, man, I've got to do this, to, wow, I get to do this. That's the difference of understanding the gospel and what it bears on us and our spiritual growth. Jesus has done it all. That's the seed that we want to get into us. The seed of the gospel, the seed of the word of God. All right, so let me give you just a couple applications for us as a church, just based on that. Applications for Radiant Church. Number one, we want to be centered on the word of God. We want to read the word, right? We want to make sure that God's word comes to bear in the different things that we do. That's why we read the Bible on Sundays. So we're encouraging our groups, hey, start with the Bible. It's a great place to start. If we don't start there, it's like everything else falls apart. Hey guys, come to group. Man, let's put the Bible aside. I just read this really funny comic strip this week. It's all going to fall apart, right? Like, let's make sure we're getting in the word of God. Hey, look at this thing that I saw on my Instagram post this week. All right, it's, man, we want to get in the word of God. That's where there's substance. We study it. We read it with others. We begin to go deep and deeper in the word of God. That brings you deeper into relationships with other people. We want to make sure we are centered on the word. And then as a church, we want to do everything we can to try and massage that into our hearts and into our lives. We want to make sure that we are fertilizing that word, that we're caring for it, that we're getting some sun on it. Remember, we do not have a green thumb. Nobody in my family has a green thumb. A few years ago, I realized whenever you go to the nursery and they tell you, hey, you can't kill this plant, they are lying. Okay? They are lying to you. If it's growing, you can kill it, and we've probably killed it. But I remember a few years ago, we had a garden, and we dumped some chicken manure in there. And man, all of a sudden, I looked like a genius. Like, we've got these tomato plants that are 10 feet high, and they're just growing these great things. And it's like, they're like, Keith, what'd you do? I was like, I have no idea. I just put the seeds in the ground. We dumped the manure on it, and we put the seeds in the ground. And it took off. That manure, it was fertilizing. It was giving those plants what it needed. We want to find ways to fertilize the word of God as a congregation, be eager for that, trying to encourage it. Wouldn't it be fantastic if people said, hey, what's your church like? I said, it's like just going and just smothering manure all over yourself. That's what my church is like. You tell people that and they are going to be flocking in the doors, okay? We're not going to be able to contain all of it. Just use that. If you use that line, let me know how it goes. I'd love to hear the reaction to it. But we do. We want to be centered on the word, and we want to be getting that into all the things that we do as a church. Number two, we need pathways for people in different stages. Doesn't that make sense? We need pathways for people that are in different stages of their growth. Mark went through this last week, and I just want to go through it again. I realize some of us have been living in this for a few months trying to work through things. Some of you, you've just heard it once, so I want to go through it again. Show the slide with the connect, grow. Yeah, there we go. We've shown this. Spiritual growth pathways. This is how we're trying to think. We've got connect. You know, some people, they're new. They just need to connect. You know, when Amanda and I went on our first date, I didn't propose on the first date. I might have wanted to, but she would be like, "What? You're asking me to marry you? You're crazy. Like, I don't even know you," right? You kind of got to have a time to get to know one another. And we recognize that. There's times, hey, people are coming. They're not used to coming to church. They don't have a background in coming to church. Or maybe they've just been out of it for a while, and it feels kind of awkward. We want to find ways to connect with people. So we've got the roundup. We've got Radiant 101. You know, as we went through this, you know, we all enjoy the roundup. But one thing, remember somebody saying, what's the purpose of the roundup? I was like, that's a great, like, what are we trying to do right here? We love doing lunch together. I love eating everybody's food. That is a spiritual gift of mine. And I like to use that gift. So we enjoy having food. But we started thinking, it's like, man, strategically, what a great way for our church to connect with others. For those who are new to come in and connect and share a meal. We want to do those things as a church. Maybe there's somebody that you are trying to share the gospel with. What do you need to do first? Maybe you just need to connect with them. Maybe you just need to get to know them. Take them out for a coffee. Grab lunch. See what's going on in life. Ask them how you can pray for them. Just get to know them. That connecting, it is so important. Sharing a meal. Second stage is grow. You know, we love having those times of getting to know people, but we want to move on from that. We want to try and, how do we get intentional time where we're in the Word? You know, David was talking about, are we discipling those younger in the faith? Are we having times that we're getting in the Word with them and we're talking about life and we're reading it? We want to do those things. We want to find ways, you know, and this is one of those things that it's like, man, if you just want to grow in your walk with the Lord, we want to find a way to make that happen. No, I've been at churches before, and it was a different season, but it was kind of, it was at one church, and one of our policies was, hey, to get in a small group, you had to be a member. And then we had good reasons for doing that, but I look back, it's like, that's a different time. Right now, man, you want to grow, we will find a way. You want to start reading the Bible, we'll meet with you. We want to try and get the Word in and help you to start to know that better. There's an old saying, how do you turn a big ship? You get it moving. You get a ship moving and you can start to turn it. But if it's not moving, it's hard to turn a ship that isn't moving. It takes a lot of effort. You get the ship moving and then you can start to direct it. Sometimes we just need to get people reading the Word. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you've never read the Bible. We want to find ways. We've got our foundations group up there. We just felt like we've called that different things, but we thought, man, we want to give people a foundational understanding of the Christian faith, get them reading the Word. And that's something I made me new to the faith. I can read, you know, I need that. Or maybe you never move beyond the basics. When spring training starts for baseball, these guys have been playing baseball for 20 years. They're going back to the same fundamentals. There's some foundational, fundamental passages of Scripture that you can just always go and read and benefit from that. We want to instill a foundation. We want life groups doing other things too. We know that some people are in a season, it's like, man, I'm parenting, I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, maybe you need to do a study on that, or marriage, or vocation. How do you honor God in your work? We want to have different contexts that all of those things are happening. We also want to think about how we're sowing back. One of the things is we think about seed. Actually, do we have that picture of the cycle? I might be jumping ahead. But as we think about seed, there's this stage of where you're going out and you're sowing, and there's this stage of where your things are growing, and then there's the harvest. And when you harvest, if you're a farmer, you're not just done there, right? You've got to take some of that seed and go back and sow it again. If you just end with harvest, you're basically saying, hey, I'm out of farming. I'm done. I'm not a farmer anymore. But if you're a farmer, you're gonna get to that harvest. You're going to say, hey, we got grain. You know what? Now let's go back out and sow it again, and let's start that process over. This is one of the things that we need as a church, is we need people that are helping others to read the word. We need people that are helping to put on some of the connect events. We need people that are just willing to go out and, hey, let's do some events to try and reach our community. And this is something that we recognize that people may be in different stages. Maybe you're new and it's like, man, I'm reading the word and that's what I need right now. Maybe you're more seasoned and you've been doing Bible study for so long and it's time for you to go and help somebody else, help them to read the word. But as we think about our pathways, we want to make sure that all of these things are happening in our church, that there's just a continual opportunity to engage in these at the church. We want to make sure that we're engaging in the word, that we're bringing others into it. I had this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said, "The word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose and the lion will defend itself." It's a great word, right? Just trying to think about opportunities. How are we getting the word into our church, into our small groups? How are we getting the word into our community? We want to do all those things. And we recognize, you know, some of that as you go out into the world, it's messy, isn't it? I know it's messy. I talk to people. I know it's messy because I was one of those messy people. I still remember showing up to church and man, I was so nervous to walk. I was like, man, if these people knew what I'd done, they would not let me in here. I was nervous. I didn't know when to sit, when to stand. I didn't know when to lift my hands. All that was different to me. I didn't even know the words to the songs. I needed help. I needed people to come alongside me and say, hey, it's okay. You don't need to know everything. Just focus on your walk with the Lord. Just keep looking to him. Look to the Lord and everything else will fall into place. I needed to hear that. Sometimes it's messy and you're working with people. I remember a friend of mine told me, he said, Keith, you're in a messy place, right? This is when I first came to faith. He said, you're in a messy place, but you're heading in the right direction. And I'm so grateful for that. Because he was being very patient with the immature believer. And he said, Keith, there's a ton of things you could do, but just keep reading the word, keep going to church. He gave me a couple other things. Hey, you may not want to do these things anymore. I said, you're right. And he just trusted God. He trusted God to work in my life. So sometimes it's like that. Sometimes as you are walking beside people, you've got to overlook some things. I remember when I took Amanda out on our first date. My goal of our first date was to get a second date. We had a great time. We're sitting there talking and just laughing and having fun. And we went to Borders, speaking of old. We actually went to an actual bookstore. And we're just talking, having fun. And she got a chocolate chip mocha frappuccino. I still remember it because we had an awesome time on our date. And as we were wrapping up, she took one more big gulp and she's like, oh, I feel like I have some chocolate chips in my teeth. Do I have anything? And she looked at me and gave me this big smile. And she had chocolate chips all in her teeth. But I'm looking at her and I was like, man, this was really fun. Man, she is really good looking and I want to make sure I get a second date. So you know what? I looked her in the eyes and said, you're fine. You're fine. Everything's all good. And I have to confess, I still don't feel guilty about that, all right? I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I don't feel guilty. I just knew, hey, I don't want to, this is really secondary. I don't need to say anything that maybe she'd feel awkward and not want to go out with me again. So we'll just overlook that. I'm not sure how exactly that connects to discipleship, other than there are times you may need to overlook some things. People are in a messy place, but man, they're growing. They're pursuing the Lord. That's awesome. We want to try and encourage that and foster that and just know, I don't have it all together. I'm not expecting other people to have it all together. But man, let's be eager to follow the Lord. Let's sincerely do that. We want to find ways to make that happen. We want to make sure that as believers, we don't just kind of get in our cozy place where, hey, it's all my friends and we kind of think alike. We're all kind of the same season and we're pretty comfortable. How are we going back to bring others in? How are we bringing others that are maybe less mature? How are we bringing them along and helping them to grow in their faith? We don't want to treat, you know, the opposite of going back and sowing in the fields is to be like, wow, look at this watermelon that I grew. Man, it's a trophy. I'm just going to put it and just try and display it. And I'm never going to eat it. And I'm never going to take the seeds out. And you're like, man, what a waste. What a waste. You know, a good use of that is to give it to others to enjoy, to put the seed back in the ground, to grow a bigger harvest. We want to make sure that we are going back to sow. So it's interesting, as I've thought through these things, and look at our different pathways and some of the things that we're doing. You know, I could make an argument that, man, maybe this stage is most important. Man, if we get people and they just actually start to read the word, maybe we start getting other things. But, you know, and that's a question for you. What do you think is the most important? Oh, sorry, I'm getting ahead. Yeah, there we go. All right, what is most important? We're just going to jump to this. What is most important? What would you say for our church? What is most important as we look at those different stages? What is most important? Then think about that, praying about it. And I think this is what's most important, that each of us does the next step. If we just stay where we're at, we're going to be stagnant. But if we think about, hey, what's the next thing that God is calling me to do? What is the next thing? What if we all did that? What if we all did one more step? Just took that next step. Maybe it's, man, I've never engaged in a Bible study. Maybe it's time to get in a Bible study. Maybe you're like, I've never shared my faith. Maybe it's time to take that step. Maybe you're the type, hey, I've just kind of come in and I enjoy things. You like to consume. I like to consume too, but God calls us to be a producer. Maybe you're like, hey, we just kind of come when it's easy. Well, maybe God's calling you to have a commitment. What is the next thing that God is calling you to do? What's the next pathway he's calling you to do? Because if we all do that, then we are growing as a church. We're growing and we're being stretched and we're sharing about that. Hey, man, I felt a little uneasy going to this, but I did that. And somebody else is like, man, I wasn't sure, but I felt like I need to do this. And I stepped out. Let me tell you how God has met me. Wouldn't it be neat if we're coming in and talking about how God has met us, see how he's stretching us and yet making a way? God always makes a way. So I want to encourage you to be praying about, what is God calling you to do next? What is your next step? Be praying about that, because if we all do that, we're going to start moving forward in this vision and direction God has for us. And we want to be praying about that as a church and having everybody, we want to be stirring one another up. It'd be awesome if we look back on this time and we see how God moved in our lives. And oftentimes, times I felt God move the most is when I was stretched the most. And so I want to encourage you, be praying about that. What is God calling you to do? What are the opportunities around you? Maybe talk about that with some of your friends. Talk about it with your spouse or whoever. Maybe just listen to them. Sometimes we get stagnant and, you know, I do that. I'm like, hey, I'm kind of praying, but what do you think, sweetie? And she's like, absolutely, you need to do that. Just neat how God can work in others to stir us up. But we want to be praying about that. We don't want to be stagnant. If we're not growing, we're dying. We're stagnant. We want to be growing. We want to be growing in our fruitfulness to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel and just the hope that we have in Christ. It's not about us and our growth. It's about what Christ has done for us. And when we know and understand that, God, we love you and we want to know you more. We want to follow you. We want to surrender more and more. We want to have more and more of you in our lives. And I just pray that that would be the heartbeat of our church, is that we're not here because we have to. We're not here because, oh man, Keith is going to get upset if we don't do this or anything else. We're here because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And we want to know more of that. We want more of the Spirit of God to be at work in our lives. And we want to see more of the Spirit of God working in our friends' lives, in our families, and everybody who comes into this church. God, we want people to know and experience that. So, Lord, we pray that you would be magnified. We pray you'd be magnified in our lives, and we pray that as a church, we would come together, that we would do hard things. And people may ask, why are you doing that? And we'd say, because we want Jesus' name to be known. We want to make him great. We want others to know him and the salvation that can only be found in him. Lord, I pray for that. And I just also pray, I pray that you would stir people. As we look at our nation and our world, God, we need spiritual leaders. We need people who are willing to stand up and do the right thing. Do the right thing when it's hard. People who are willing to stand up and speak truth, speak the gospel, to be willing to be made fun of, to be ridiculed. We need people that are going to share the love of Christ. And so, God, I just pray. I pray that you would just manifest that here, that you would stir people up to want to pursue that, to be the people that you're calling them to be a light in a dark world. God, we pray that we'd give ourselves to that as a church. That we'd be willing to lend a hand to people as they come in, as they don't know you, that they'd connect with you, and that they'd grow. Lord, lead us as we go through this new vision as a church, as we try to implement it. Show us the way, but God, I just pray that you'd stir us all to grow strong, to grow deep, to be patient, and to make your name great. Be magnified. And all we do, we pray this in Jesus' name.